Welcome to Simply Financial with your financial coach, Kevin Ray. In today's investing environment, there's a lot of clutter. If you're tired of the talking heads and financial noise, this is the show for you. Today, we'll help you find simple solutions to financial challenges. We'll show you how to achieve your financial goals and get answers to your toughest questions. Simply Financial with Kevin Ray starts now.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Simply Financial. I'm Walter Storholt alongside Kevin Ray, your financial coach at Insight Folio, serving you throughout the Tri-City area, based right in Pinconning. You can find Kevin online at insightfolios.com. Tap into the three decades of experience that Kevin has in this financial planning world. Kevin's also the co-author of the book, Navigating Through Retirement. And that's what we're going to do on today's show, help you navigate through those big questions that retirement often brings with it. Kevin, it is great to be with you once again, my friend. And you are joining us today from location, on location, we should say.
On location, as you put it, right?
That's right.
So I am in beautiful Leapers Fork, Tennessee right now.
Very cool. Thank you for taking some time to join us, even though you're out and about and doing some traveling this week.
Well, you know, technology makes this so easy anymore. So, you know, I can hear the birds through my headset now. So if people are hearing the birds, that's because it's spring down here and it's going to be 70 degrees today. So it's beautiful down here right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it's something that's really nice. I can hear the birds chirping in the background occasionally. Our audience might be able to hear that throughout the show today. So you're creating a very peaceful atmosphere to talk about retirement planning today.
Oh, it is very peaceful here. It's, you know, everything's green, everything's warm during the day. You know, at night still gets a little chilly, but it warms up pretty quick.
And it's still only March after all, so that's understandable.
Yeah. And the beautiful countryside here. We've been going to all the different towns and, you know, of course, stimulating the local economy when we can and doing all that kind of good stuff, so.
Now, you were telling me something pretty interesting before we started the show today, and I thought our audience might find it interesting as well before we dive into our retirement and financial planning conversations today. You were talking a little bit about how there's like a couple of local places, or maybe it was just one local place, that tends to draw in stars, like musicians and stars. I mean, you're near Nashville, so this makes sense, of course, but it's just kind of this like small venue that people will just often pop into and just perform a couple of songs, a kind of impromptu. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, from what I understand, it's called Fox and Lock here in Leapers Fork. And from what I understand, I haven't seen any, but we've only been here a few days. But I hear Justin Timberlake lives just around the corner someplace, and he pops in all the time, sing a few songs. Carrie Underwood's been known to come in there. Lots of famous people. And it's like a little barbecue / bar type atmosphere where they got a little stage up front, and they usually got music almost every day going on somewhere there. And great brisket, Walter. They make it fresh right there. Great fried chicken. I mean, you name it, they got it there. Like, we were here last year, and we just missed Kathy Lee Gifford from the shop that we went into. So, you know, I have had a near sighting, but I haven't seen anybody yet, so.
That's too funny. You're making me kind of hungry, though, Kevin. I'm about to just turn off the microphone and go eat lunch now that you're...
I had this vivid picture because when I walked into that little establishment, they were pulling the brisket apart with their hands. You know how they do that?
Oh, yeah.
Or taking it out, you know.
They just give it a shake and it all falls apart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was awesome, too.
You've got me looking at pictures online now, and it's not helping me. It's making me even hungrier at this point. So,
It's smaller. It's a town smaller than Pinconning. It's a town smaller than Linwood, where I'm from.
Is that right? And, but they've got this
really right
famous restaurant.
So. Yeah. Yeah, there's two restaurants. One open for morning till 2 o'clock, and then this one opens during the afternoon. So yeah,
okay.
It works out great.
Oh, very nice. Well, very cool. So you're in Leapers Fork, and the restaurant is Fox and Lock. So if anybody finds themselves down in that neck of the woods near Nashville at some point in the future, you've got a great recommendation of a place to go check out for good brisket and maybe some good music as well. Well, thanks for telling us those details, Kevin. If you do run into anybody famous, let us know on a future show.
I'll try to take a picture.
Take a picture, too. Yeah, absolutely. All right, my friend. Well, let's dive into our financial planning conversations today. A little bit later on, we are going to talk about gun safety and financial planning, what we can learn about financial planning from applying good gun safety rules and mentality. So that should be interesting, and you bring a lot to that table as a hunter yourself, Kevin. So that'll be great to talk to you a little bit about that. And me not being much of a gun guy, I feel like I'll be able to learn a little something in this conversation too. So it'll be kind of fun, twofold.
We'll find out.
Yeah, absolutely. If we have time, we'll talk about some popular rules of thumb in the financial world and see if these are truly things that we should follow, or should we perhaps take it all with a grain of salt. So all of that is coming up in a few moments. But first, wanted to spend a couple of minutes talking with you, Kevin, about the great wealth transfer. Now, if folks have heard that term before, they may know this, but in case you haven't, it's referring to the trillions of dollars, literally trillions of dollars, that are going to pass to younger generations as baby boomers reach the end of their life and leave inheritances to their kids and grandkids over the course of approximately the next 20 years or so. Experts disagree on how much money this is going to be, some saying it's $40 trillion that will change hands, others saying closer to $100 trillion. But really, no matter any way you slice it, when we're talking about that much money, it's a lot. And so I want to discuss how people should be planning accordingly for their slice of that 40 to 100 million that's going to change hands over the next couple of years.
You mean trillion, yes.
Yeah. So this is a great conversation for anybody that's just kind of thinking about how is your money going to impact the generations that are coming behind you. So we've got a couple of key points to be thinking about. And Kevin, I'm wondering what your discussions are starting to shape up and what they're sounding like with your clients in these different ways. So the first one is we should probably get familiar with understanding the rules on inherited IRAs. What are the key questions to ask and things to know about that slice of this puzzle?
Well, that's a good question, but let's back up just a minute. You know, we're just a small radio show here in Michigan, right, Walter?
Yeah.
But if Uncle Sam
we're big time for small town Michigan. Come on now.
But if Uncle Sam hears there's 40 trillion to 100 trillion out there, I'm thinking his mouth is salivating like we did when we talked about
Brisket. That's right. Doesn't matter how big your town is, he's going to be turning over rocks looking for you.
Right. Yeah. So what do we need to understand about inheriting Roth IRAs? Well, a few years ago they changed the rules on the inherited IRAs, and before they changed the rules, and this is probably what everybody's familiar with, is that you could stretch that IRA distribution out over your time. In other words, when a person reaches age 72, 73, they're forced to take a required minimum distribution out. And when they pass away, they left beneficiaries on there. And then those beneficiaries could take a minimum distribution out over their lifetime. That's the big change. You can no longer do that. What you have to do now is that has to be liquidated within a 10-year time frame. So let's just take a number. You have $1 million IRA, and it has to be liquidated over 10 years. So if most people are going to do 1/10 a year, that's $100,000 a year. That's going to be reportable on your income taxes, you being the person who's inherited that. So what you have to be looking out for is if you're inheriting this type of money, which is a good situation, don't get me wrong, but that's probably going to put most people in a higher tax bracket. That's probably going to put most people paying more taxes. And then the intention of leaving that money to the heirs is kind of going off the cliff a little bit, because prior, when most people were saving for IRAs and saving for retirements, their idea was, well, I'm going to leave it to the kids, they're going to stretch it over their lifetime. No longer can do that. Now the IRS said one step further. This year, you can, as long as you have that out over 10 years, but there's talk out there that's saying you must take a 10th every year, at least a 10th. So you can take more, but you must take a 10th. Some people haven't taken anything. Say they're 3 years in, they haven't taken anything. They want to take it in a 4th, 5th, 6th year, whatever. That's on the back burner right now, being looked at being changed. So you got to be careful on that. So we have to look at how we're going to pass on this wealth to our next generation, to our kids and grandkids, in the most tax advantage ways. And that's what we talk about in our office all the time. You know, we could use life insurance. Maybe we could, you know, the pay tax on the taxes that the kids would have to pay. You can do Roth conversions. There's all sorts of planning that can be done on this. It's just that you have to sit down. You have to take the time. And not only now, Walter, if you're seven, let's say you're 65 years old and you have $1 million. What's the average lifespan of a male, let's say? What would you say?
Well, we're up into the 80s, right? Mid-80s?
Yeah, let's just say 85, for example.
Okay.
And they're 65. That million, they got 20 years of what to go?
20 years of using those dollars.
Of growth, right? And if they don't use it,
Oh, and also growth, yeah.
Yeah, so that million may turn into 3 or 4. So you've had now you think you got a tax problem because you're going to pass on $1 million, but maybe it's going to be 3 or 4. That's why you need to get in front of this train. We can see the light coming down the tracks. We need to get out of that way, and we need to start planning properly. Because remember, if it's a traditional IRA, this isn't, if you have that $1 million and you cash it in today, do you get all million? No. Uncle Sam's probably going to get 30 or 40% of that. And the bigger it gets, the bigger partner he is. So there's time to get out of that way of that train and do some planning now. You just got to sit down and do it.
Yeah, it's a great point. All right, so understand those rules on the inherited IRAs because they have changed over the course of the last couple of years, and so you just want to be fully up to speed on what those adjustments have been. And, always could change again in the future too, so keep your eyes on that.
Yes.
All right, we also want to understand, as we think about this great wealth transfer, and by the way, if you have any questions for Kevin, something you hear on today's show that kind of perks those ears up a little bit or makes you question something a little bit more deeply, have a one-on-one conversation with Kevin by calling 888-885-PLAN. You can call 888-885-PLAN, get in touch that way and have that conversation about your situation, get some more specifics and details that can be kind of customized to whatever you're going through. 888-885-PLAN. All right, so we're talking about the great wealth transfer, these trillions and trillions of dollars that are going to get passed from the baby boomers to the younger generations over the next 20 years. So our next key point to think about is understanding stepped-up basis. Stepped-up basis. What does that term mean, Kevin, for folks, and why is this an important concept?
Well, the stepped-up basis is this. Let's say that you bought, let's look in our area, you bought, I don't know, Dow stock 30 years ago, Walter, and you put $10,000 in it, and now it's worth $250,000.
Okay, sounds good. So, I'll take it.
Yep, if you
take you're always gifting me money in these scenarios, Kevin. I love it.
So we have a gain. How much in there, Walter? I'm going to give you a math question.
$240,
right?
That one was easy. Whew.
So if you don't list beneficiaries or if you don't plan properly and you leave that to your kids and it goes through probate, they're going to pay possibly tax on that $240,000. But what the stepped-up basis is, no, if we plan properly, maybe we use a trust, maybe we put beneficiaries on there, whatever planning aspect you use, is that now when you are gone, they're going to step up the cost basis to that $250,000 in this instance. So in other words, if we pass it correctly down to our beneficiaries, their new cost basis is $250,000. So we're going to eliminate that tax between the $10,000 and the $250,000 that we talked about. So what are we talking about here? A lot of people in our area have individual stocks. They work for a company, and they've been contributing, buying stocks, maybe consumers, maybe General Motors, maybe, you know, Dow Chemical, whatever it is, for years and years and years. And then if they don't use that or what's left over, if they don't plan properly, there could be a hunk of taxes out of there. You could also look at your property too, right? If we do your property correctly, it'll be stepped up in basis. You know, we just did that for my dad, and we got the stepped up in basis costs for him when he passed away. His house, I didn't have to pay any taxes on the gain since he bought it to when he passed away. I get it out the day that he passed away. So that's what's called a stepped up basis. So if you have individual stocks, you have individual properties, you have stuff like that, you're going to want to look into this. You're going to want to plan properly, and you're going to want to look at trust and beneficiaries and all those things that go along with this, just to eliminate that possible tax that could be coming down the road, and make sure that your heirs or your children, grandchildren, churches, charity, whatever, get the most that they can, and leave Uncle Sam out of here the most that you can as possible also. So stepped up basis is big.
I mean, we're talking about a huge difference there between paying taxes on, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars versus being able to basically skip that through passing that through proper channels. So
yeah, and people do it every day. So it's not a new thing, Walter. It's been around for a long, long time. So if you haven't heard about it, and like I say, if you got those properties out there, you have individual stocks, you have whatever it is, you want to sit down, you want to talk to somebody about that. So you make sure that when you pass that on, you pass as much as you can on without taxes.
I got to be honest. It's one of those things that almost sounds too good to be true. But this is true. So it kind of bucks that trend a little bit. This is within the rules, and it's a smart thing to do. So if you don't understand that clearly, definitely talk to Kevin or someone with knowledge about this in the financial planning realm who can help you understand stepped-up basis, when to apply it to your planning process, and how to really properly analyze that. Again, the number to call to get in touch with Kevin is 888-885-PLAN, 888-885-PLAN. All right, let's talk about communication. This is our third and final point about the great wealth transfer. And this is really where you just need to talk about communicating with that next generation so that they understand what's coming down the pike and how perhaps they can maximize whatever you plan to leave with them.
Well, the communication is critical here, because if we just back up a little bit ago, right, we're talking about inherited IRAs. So, you know, you have the kids and they know that mom and dad maybe has a sizable IRA. But like we said in that example, you got 20 years of growth, it's going to be bigger. So how do you plan for that? That's where the communication, I think, is broke down. Is people think whatever I leave my kids, they should be happy with. But they're not really thinking about the other side of the coin, which is taxes. So that communication, you know, maybe the kids in this instance, maybe the kids want to take a life insurance policy out on mom and dad to pay for the taxes on that when it's done. It's a lot cheaper now. You can turn one taxable dollar into two or three tax-free dollars down the road to pay that tax. And it's just, there's a lot of planning opportunity in there. The communication also, what do you want when you're gone? Well, you know, mom and dad, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do at the house? You know, do you want to leave anything to the grandkids? Do you want to set up a college fund? Let's have that discussions now and try instead of trying to figure it out when mom and dad are gone or grandma and grandpa are gone. That communication is critical. I don't see a whole lot of it going on in our office. People just say, no, I'm going to leave the beneficiary and we'll go into that conversation and we'll look at it. And when we do the simplicity plan, I can show you, you know, if your IRA grows at 5%, what it's going to look like in 20 years, or it grows at 6%, whatever that number is. And then we can look at the tax, a possible tax that's going to be implied on that transfer that's going down to the next generation. So there's all types of communication that needs to be gone. What do you want if you end of life? What do you want? Do you want to lease your house out? Do you want to give it to a grandkid? All these things need to come down the pike. And I think a lot of those conversations, you know, we're talking about, you know, death here. So it's kind of tough to sit down with your parents and your grandparents and have the discussion, but it's critical that you do, because after they're gone, you're going to sometimes regret what you did and maybe rethink things two or three times and thinking, maybe I should have done it a different way. Sit down, have that conversation now, because you're going to have that conversation sooner or later. You might as well have it now and maybe get some good planning techniques out of it so you can go into that planning and make sure that, you know, your family gets the majority of that money versus Uncle Sam.
All great points, Kevin, and it's all really a great reminder to just be thinking about the great wealth transfer. Yeah, it's not something that's happening tomorrow necessarily, but this is going on over the course with individuals for the next 20-plus years and these trillions of dollars that are changing hands. So make sure that you are properly planning for this and making sure that your family members are understanding what's coming down the pike as well. All good reminders here. So if you want to get in touch and have a conversation with Kevin about your particular planning situation, that's the best way to get the guidance and advice, is to talk to Kevin specifically about this. Call 888-885-PLAN. That's 888-885-PLAN. If you get the voicemail, leave a quick note. Kevin or the sensational Stacy will follow up with you to set up that time to chat, whether that be in person or remote via Zoom or just on the phone first. Either way is going to be beneficial to begin the conversation in the proper manner. The number to call again is 888-885-PLAN. 888-885-7526. Get your complimentary financial review with Kevin Ray and the team at Insight Folios today. More coming up on today's show, so stay with us. You're listening to Simply Financial with Kevin Ray. Kevin, you are a hunter, correct?
I am.
I mean, I knew the answer to that question, so I don't know why I asked it that way.
I thought maybe you were forgetting over time.
No, sure didn't. But it helped set us up, I think, for this next conversation, because we're going to be talking about gun safety and financial planning. And this will be instructive and interesting, even if you're not a quote-unquote gun person. I would count myself in that category, Kevin. Believe it or not, I've never fired a gun, never held one. I mean,
really?
Other than, you know, like playing as a kid with, you know, whatever fake guns or whatever that kind of thing may be. Yeah, just dad was more of a fisherman and not a hunter, so had a lot of experience fishing growing up, but just never got into the gun space. So don't necessarily have a fear of them or anything like that. It's just not something I've come across a whole lot in life. So this will be an interesting conversation for me to talk about. Most of this is common sense, so I feel like I'll be okay figuring this stuff out as we go through it. But I think some of this common sense and some of these comparisons will actually be pretty instructive for us in the financial planning world. So, ready to talk about how gun safety principles apply to some of the principles of the financial planning world?
Yeah, let's give it a whirl.
All right, let's do it. I'll ask you to make the connections here. So, let's talk about number one, never point a gun at anyone as a joke. It's something you never want to go down that road, even if you think the gun is unloaded. I even never having held a gun, I know that this is like rule number one. You never do this.
Well, no. And if I'll back up here a bit too, Walter. If you're interested in, learning about guns, and we have our local guy in Jeff's Gun Store right here in Linwood. I know him personally. I go in there quite a bit. And he'll get you started on the right foot there. But
you got a recommendation for everything, whether it's chicken wings, fishing spots, or where to go learn about guns and all sorts of interesting things.
Well, Jeff is a retired police officer, so he can teach you all the safety you need to know.
And so you're learning from someone who knows their business. That's good.
Yes, yeah. But if, we've all heard the gun isn't loaded. Well, we heard about Brandon Lee, right? Remember Bruce Lee's son? He did that movie, and they thought the gun wasn't loaded. And Alec Baldwin.
One has certainly been in the news. Yeah,
right.
And that was like a perfect example of this, pointing it as a joke.
Yeah, that's not a joke. Guns, they're loaded. Just consider them loaded all the time. But what can we take away from this to apply to financial planning? Well, don't take risk, right? That's what this is. Why would you point a gun at somebody thinking that it's unloaded or safety's on or that nothing's going to go wrong? Why take that risk? That's just crazy. The same thing we can look at income. So, if your plan dictates that you need to average 6% rate of return, what do we call that, Walter? In the simplistic tree, we call it your retirement number, right?
Yep.
We're going to figure out your retirement number. What number do you need to average? What percent do you need to average on your portfolio going forward for the next 10, 20 years to meet your goals? And let's just say it's 3% or 6% or whatever. Well, we know that we're going to plan for income. So we know that what risk that you need now. So if you're going to, if you need a 6% return to get you through or 3%, but you're taking a 12%, why take those unnecessary risks? Why not pare that back? Why not, do it in a much more conservative way, but with some growth involved in there? And why take those chances? Just because maybe you've invested in the past and you've done good doesn't mean it's going to happen in the future, especially when you retire. Your goals have to change. We now have to look at income versus growth. So I think when you're, without taking risk, I think the first thing you need to take away from this is know the rate of return you need to earn on your portfolio going forward so you don't run out of money. Once we figure out that number, it's called your retirement number, then we can kind of say, all right, based on this, here's how we can build some risk into your portfolio, and here's how we can set some things aside that's going to be there later down the road, and here's how we can, do some diversification and get you going into retirement so you don't run out of money.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and these are serious situations, people have been shot, have passed away because of these kinds of accidents in the gun world. And the maybe not life or death in the financial planning side here, but still just as significant consequences in the right context, I think, if you're taking those unnecessary risks. So great illustration there. All right. I know this, even not a gun person. You want to store ammunition separately from your guns. I've heard that tip and that piece of advice as well. But why? Can you enlighten us on the gun safety side of things? And then what's the financial comparison?
Well, it's going to reduce the risk, right? Because if everything's accessible in one place, then, it's going to amp up the risk. So if you have kids, for example, and you don't want everything in one place with things, grab it and load it. We all heard about those mishaps also. But in the financial realm, there's things you need to keep separate as well. What do you think those things are, Walter?
Oh, let's see. All right. So in the financial side, if we're trying to keep things separate, I would say probably like the purpose of the dollars. So like if we're wanting regular income, well, then we're going to keep that separate from the money we're investing maybe, aggressively in the stock market is one thing I can think of.
Yeah. So if we know we need, we call it shortfall. I'm going to probably put everything back to simplistic trees. I just spent a week in North Carolina last week with Paul at Insight Folios, and we're going through all this stuff. So it's fresh on my mind. So hopefully it comes across.
Nice.
So we're going to call this shortfall. So let's just say you need $5,000 a month to live on in retirement, and you got four. That $1,000 a month is your shortfall. How do you fill that shortfall? Well, you need to take whatever you save for retirement, and it has to come from there. So now we can separate that out even further. So if we need $1,000 per month, how can we need to take some of those dollars to generate that income and set it in one pot, let's say. And then the other dollars, yes, we can do. We can invest more aggressively. We can do all sorts of things. But by keeping them safe, keeping your income safe, I think is priority here over growth because, again, you retired. Your paycheck stopped. You're not working no longer. Your paychecks are now going to come from your investments. Your investments are your employees. Their job is to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and generate income 365 days a year. So let's figure out that shortfall, and let's separate some of that money to fill that shortfall, and then do some planning with that other money to get you to and through retirement.
Really good points, Kevin. And yeah, let's all remember to do that. Store that ammunition separately from your guns. And let's do the same thing in our financial plans. Keep that ammunition separate from the purposes and the goals that don't jive with what we're trying to accomplish. All right, this next one's really big, Kevin. And, you know, unfortunately, I have a really sad story related to this next point. And it's about needing to explain to kids how guns are different on TV than they are in real life. My mom actually worked with a woman who was taking care of her grandchildren, and the kids found a gun in her purse, and they were playing with it, and the gun accidentally went off, and unfortunately, one of the children lost their life in that incident, and it was devastating. And so it's just really, I mean, it's hard to do, but if you're going to have a gun in the household, you've got to make sure you're letting your kids know that it's not a toy and that it does operate differently than what you see on TV, because like with a lot of things in life, TV doesn't maybe accurately depict things sometimes.
Well, no, I think, you know, we've been watching, what, since the early 30s, you know, Westerns, you know, they're shooting out and gangsters from Humphrey Bogart. And if you watch that stuff over and over and over and you're not around guns, it's easy to get, you know, desensitized, or it's easy to believe that, hey, this is fun and games, right?
Or you see Power Rangers shooting lasers or just, whatever, you know, even it really kind of makes them toy-like and fantasy.
Yeah, so the reality
is... Or look
is,
at Star Wars, right? You get always miss getting shot, you know? You can dive all over the place and you never seem to get struck by the bullet. You're always able to dodge it.
Oh yeah, or the other... Star Trek, right? Put it on stun. We'll just stun the person.
Yeah, you'll come back and be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you come. So those things tend to lead down the road, I think, of, and I think that's personally why it's. I think every child should go through gun safety training just so you know those types of things. But from an investor perspective, what's the one thing that you hear on TV, Walter? You hear, you know, you hear all sorts of advertisements. Give me some you've heard lately.
Oh, well, I mean, I just, you hear all the time the buy gold commercials or silver and precious metals. You know, there's just the last Super Bowl, not the one this year, but the one before, I believe it was the one that was all filled with talks of cryptocurrency and all the celebrities talking about crypto and what exchanges you should get involved in. And like, I'm bombarded by that stuff all the time.
Yeah, and the way it sounds like you should put everything in those investments, right?
Yeah.
So just because you're having some talking head out there in TV or radio or whatever it is, or maybe you're reading some, especially on the web, Walter, we'll find out that, you know, people have teaser headlines, don't they? To get you to click on that, to start tracking you, to maybe sell you a newsletter, all those types of things, because their ideas are just too good to pass up. You have to be careful of that. What's you know, let's go down this, what's real advice and what's fake advice, right? So it's a tricky standpoint when you come through that. You know, you need to treat those sources that they're saying, you know, those sources, whatever they're doing, they have a motive behind what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you on board with what they're selling. So just because it sounds good doesn't mean it is good. You have to do your homework. You have to sit down. You have to do that simplicity plan. We have to figure out. Now, we can go back in here too and relate it to simplicity plan. You want to put X amount of dollars in Bitcoin, for example, X amount of dollars in gold. We can put that in the plan, and then we can show that if it loses 20, 30%, what's going to happen to your portfolio. So if you're putting 5% of your money in those particular things, I really don't have an issue with that. But if you're putting 50% in there, I do have an issue with that because those things swing wildly. You know, Bitcoin is still really unregulated. They could change a lot tomorrow and make a huge impact on your retirement going forward. So you have to be careful the source that you're listening to. You have to be careful to do your own homework, and you have to put it into a plan and see if it's going to work going forward.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I think too, like, I think of like the Mad Money show, you know, where it's that sort of desensitizes you to the seriousness of investing your dollars, because it's very game show like, right? And very yeah, you know, just entertainment based. And you got to remember that you're not in this for entertainment. You're in this for, you know, sustaining your life for decades through retirement. So it's a more serious thing than TV often can make it seem. So
it's much more serious thing than TV can make it seem. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Last but not least, one more gun safety tip that has a financial connection, and that would be to keep your guns in a safe. And seems kind of like a logical one, kind of like storing the ammunition separately. You want to just make it a little bit harder to get to that gun. I think this one's really so one, what, it doesn't get stolen, and two, a lot of gun issues are domestic, right? And I don't know, just seems to make sense to just have it be a little bit harder to get access to. Maybe just gives you that extra split second to make a wiser decision and think about things a little bit.
Well, if you have a gun safe, you know, and you have children and grandchildren, and they're watching all of these things on TV that we talked about, they're not going to be able to get into that safe unless you give them the combination. So it's just,
yeah,
you know, it's safety. And again, I'm going to give a shout out to a local Pinckney County, Able Safe. I've got a gun safe, and that's where I bought it from. Able Safe, and that's for those reasons. I want it put away so if we have kids over, you know, they're not tempted. They're not thinking they can grab a gun, and I have the ammunition separate and all those types of things. But how do we, you know, compare this to what we're talking about on the show, right? If you have money that you can't afford to lose, and you should lock it away too. So don't take the money out of your savings account that's earmarked for your emergency fund. We tell people this all the time. You have to have at least, and I say at least 6 months of emergency fund. I like closer to a year. So if you're off work a year, you're not stressing out. That money needs to stay in the bank. You know, it needs to be locked up behind the teller. And when you need money, you can go there and get it. Don't be putting that into the market, because the minute you put that in the market, it'll lose 20% or go up 20%. Whatever it is, but it's not dependable. You need that money set aside for dependability. And let's think about income too. We talked about the shortfall. So if you're going to fill your shortfall and you need an additional $1,000 a month of income, we need to create a different safe for that too. We need to have it in such a place that it's going to produce that income for the next 20 years or so. We need to have that dependable income. We need to know that it's going to be there next month, next year, 10 years from now. So there's ways to keep, you know, your gun safe. There's ways to keep your money safe or safer. There's really no such thing as safe, right? But, you know, so we don't want to invest that money that's set aside for the emergency fund in some type of volatile investment. We don't want to set that money set aside for income in some Bitcoin or gold or something like that in most cases. So we want to look at the different types of, or the different buckets of money. And there, each bucket has the desired purpose set aside in that to get you to and through retirement. So make sure that you sit down and you do the simplicity plan that we talk about every week so you can see it right in front of you. It's a 3-page report. That's it. And we call it simplicity because it's simple. We want you to understand it. We want to educate you. We want to get you involved in your own planning. The more educated you get, all of these things are going to come into play, and then you'll be safer in most cases going down the road.
Very good. If you want to have that conversation, all you have to do is pick up the phone and give Kevin a call at 888-885-PLAN. That's 888-885-7526. That'll put you in touch with Kevin Ray and the team at Insight Folios based in Pinconning, so you can have a conversation about where your financial plan is now, where you need to take it into the future. 888-885-PLAN. That's 888-885-7526. It's just about putting all sorts of layers and boundaries in place when it comes to gun safety, and it really should be the same thing in your financial plan. Wall off the important stuff and the things that you don't want getting out and getting loose, and making sure that you have, you know, kind of different safety nets in place is really key to a successful financial and retirement plan. So some great parallels here, definitely some learning moments for us today. Again, 888-885-PLAN is the number to call to get in touch with Kevin. 888-885-7526. More to come on today's show, so stay with us. You're listening to Simply Financial with Kevin Ray.
It's getting to know you time.
All right, it's time to get to know Kevin Ray a little bit better on today's show. So, Kevin, here is my question for you this week. What's the hardest challenge that you've overcome?
Well, if I think about that for a minute, Walter, I've had gallstone issues most of my life.
I know a few people in that same boat, and I know it's not fun.
I had my gallbladder removed, and still there was, I think, 8 stones left in my ductwork.
Ooh.
So they tried to get the majority of them. They couldn't. There was always one, always around Labor Day, that ended up putting me in the hospital. So they come up with this procedure called ERCP, where they go down your throat, and they said, I'll be home by noon. It's easy peasy surgery. And I'm like, cool. What's the chance of something go wrong? It was 5%. I said, I think I'll take those odds. Well, what they did is they went down my throat, and they started to go after the gallstone, and they nicked my bowel.
Oh, that is not good.
That's not good. So they had to open me up. I mean, there's probably a 10-inch scar on my stomach. And that recovery was a challenge to overcome because you had to walk, you had to get out, and you're just miserable. You didn't eat for weeks. You couldn't. And after they fixed that, they fixed some stomach issues they said that were there, and it just was a miserable, probably 3-month recovery. And that was a challenge every single day to get up and keep pushing forward. And I don't want to go through that again. I think that was hard enough for me. I wouldn't want to do that again. But I kind of know where you're going to go with this. But go ahead.
Yeah, I think, we've talked about it here on the show, so I won't go on it on too long. But I lost 110 pounds a couple years back. And so that was probably one of the hardest challenges I've definitely faced over the years. It was definitely a tough one. And it was one of those ones where, it's not a one-day challenge by any means. So that was several months long. And it continues to be a lifelong challenge, I think, for those who have weight that yo-yos or that you always have to kind of stay on top of it. You don't have that sort of naturally high burning metabolism or you're dealing with injuries. It's something you're always going to face, but definitely that big drop that I faced 2 years ago was probably the hardest thing I've overcome. Well, that's getting to know Kevin a little bit better on today's show, and we've still got a little bit more to get to, so stay with us right here on Simply Financial with Kevin Ray.
Old naval acronym.
Keep it simple, stupid.
That's the one. Keep listening to Simply Financial. Discover a simpler approach to investing.
Well, before things wrap up for the day, it's time to answer a listener question. So we'll open up the mailbag, and we've got a good one here from Rosa. Rosa says, Kevin, am I better off to have 2 rental properties that create retirement income for me, or to instead have that money in investments that pay dividends to me?
Well, Rosa, I'm a big dividend guy here, so let's kind of compare the two, Walter. So dividends. Let me give everybody an example of what a dividend is. So if you own, let's say, a stock, could be any dividend-paying stock. There's lots of them out there. For every 1 share of that stock that you own, they pay you what's called a dividend. It's a dollar figure. So, for example, Archer Daniel Midland, I think, is $2 per share. So if you own 1,000 shares of that Archer Daniel Midland, you get paid $2,000 per year. But if the stock price is going to go up and down, so maybe you bought it at the top and the day you got in and then next day it went down to the bottom, your account value went down. But as long as you didn't get nervous and sell those shares, the company's still going to pay that dividend for every share you own. Now let's compare that to a rental property, right? So on the dividend, the stock value goes up and down. They pay you as long as you hold those shares. On the rental property, you're going to own a property. That property value is going to go up and down also. And then the renters that are in there, they're going to pay you a monthly rent, an income. Now, the comparison here is very similar that way. But from the rental properties, if you've been doing rentals and you're good at it, I have no issue with that. Because I have lots of clients who do that and they create good income streams from the rental properties. But if you're thinking about doing this as a novice, I'm going to caution you because, all the bad things can go wrong. You got to know how to vet renters, and then we all have heard about squatters, right? You can't get them out right now. We've known that, bad renters destroyed your properties, all those other types of things. But if you're good at it, I like the idea. If you're novice at it, I would go more towards the dividends because you don't have to worry about the renters. And we call them renters and squatters. We have a lesson on that. If you go to Insight Folios, you go to the investment section or education section, rather. It's called Renters and Squatters. And we'll go over this exactly how it works and how it goes, plays out. But I like the dividends in this case because that's what we use a lot in our office. But if you're good at rental properties, I have no issue with that either, because I have a client who has probably 10 rental properties, and it creates an awesome income stream for them. So it depends on what side of the line you're at there, Rosa. If you got other questions, give me a call. We can kind of put it in a plan, Simplicity Tree plan, and see which one works out better for you.
Really good question. Thank you, Rosa, for that one. If you want to get in touch with Kevin, again, the number to call is 888-885-PLAN. Ask your questions, go through the planning process even, and get your Simplicity Tree plan in place. 888-885-PLAN is the number to call. 888-885-7526. Get on the right track when it comes to planning for retirement with a review of your financial situation today. 888-885-PLAN is your number to call. That's Kevin Ray. I'm Walter Storholt. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. Hope you had a good show along with us. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next time on Simply Financial.
Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered through Insight Folios, Inc., a registered investment advisor. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Insurance products and services are offered through individually licensed and appointed agents in various jurisdictions. Insight Folios, Inc. does not offer legal or tax advice. Kevin Ray is an investment advisor representative of Insight Folios, Inc.